It was a standoff. Around the corner was an open area that looked like it might have been one of the service personnel's garages. The floor was stained with grease, and there was an inspection pit to one side, and an overhead system of chains and pulleys. The last of the general's war wags stood by the double doors that were the only exit from the section. At around 100 feet from side to side, it was too wide for Ryan and the others to cross it in safety, or for the general to send any of his forces out after them.
Come on, this way! We got them trapped!
From the passage beyond the garage, Ryan and the others could hear shouting and men running. A couple of times there were shots fired in their general direction, but everyone was well under cover, and the futile exercise wasn't repeated.
Could take the tires out on the wag with the Steyr.
If all goes well, then that's our way out of here. Things go wrong, we can stop it.
Christy had crawled alongside Ryan, with Doc and Mildred sandwiched between her and the armorer. Jack had volunteered to go back a short distance and guard their rear. Well, the evidence was that the general's forces hadn't infiltrated into the tourist side of the caves. It wasn't worth taking any chances.
Lover?
What?
The Navajo?
I told you. There really wasn't anything that looked like a way out of it.
It was cold-blooded murder, Ryan.
Is that what you want to think?
No, I don't want to think that at all.
So?
They were lying within 3 feet of each other, but they were separated by an enormous cold gulf.
You weren't surprised.
Ryan half-turned, keeping part of his attention focused on the far side of the cavernous room.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I think you do. I think you were razor ready for sleeps and day to make that play.
You tried to gut me.
Now everyone was listening to their argument.
And you chilled him. Then you guessed the others would try to avenge him, and you were ready for that, and you chilled them too. You, John, and Jack.
You know none of that's true, Christy. None of it.
Bullshit.
But they all knew that it was all true. Once Two Dogs Fighting and Thomas Firemaker had flipped, he hadn't really expected that to happen. Then Ryan had seen the path that would be followed, saw how his own anger provoked the Navajo leader to attack him, an attack he was tense to repel. And after that, he had also seen the strong likelihood that the other Native Americans would try to kill the Anglos. Ryan even had the confidence to be sure that JB, and he thought Jack, would be honed and ready to come immediately to his assistance.
Liar.
How can you know that, Christy?
I can feel it, smell it on you, taste it in your words. I'm not saying you planned it all like that. It's not the way you go about things, Ryan. But your mind was so far ahead of everyone else that it turned out easy as putting a .38 through a blind man's eye.
Trader said a man who wasn't ready for living was ready for death. You can't condemn Ryan for what he did, Christy. Anything else, any other fall of the cards, and we could all be dead meat by now.
Man, this argument sounds way too familiar.
Someone once remarked that it was the biggest treason to do the correct thing for the wrong reason. Though I think that it might have been put with a little more elegance than that.
What are you saying, Tanner? Did Ryan do right or wrong?
I am merely noting that all truth is perceived. As a consequence, all truth is fallible.
Cut the Delphic Oracle crap, old man, and climb down off the fucking fence. Right or wrong?
Both. Both and neither. The means of this are that 6 good men lie dead back there at our hands. The end result is that we are still alive where we might not have been. Thus, I fear that the end probably did justify those means. But that does not make me like it any the more, or feel especially proud to be a party to it. Like so many things in this sorry vale of tears, it has turned out to be more than somewhat inconclusive. Does that answer your question, Dr. Wyeth?
You know the answer to that.
It is best we talk!
Ryan looked around him, lifting a finger to his lips to ensure silence.
I am the General. That is what I am called by my people and by the poor of this region. I do not know who you are out there, or how many there are of you.
Ryan considered trying to make it across the space to the cover of the wag. If the hatch was open, then it might be possible to get in and use it against the general. But it was a long shot.
My work party has not reported back yet. I wonder why that is. And my other wag? My heart is filled with sadness and my spirits are low.
You want to talk or fight, General?
Talk first. A gentleman will always talk first. Under a flag of truce, perhaps?
Don't do it, lover. I have a strong bad feeling on this.
Judas paused from nibbling the stubby grass that lay in the hollow where he and the other animals had been tethered. His satanic head came up, and he sniffed at the cool air. There was rain on the way, moving from the far dark horizon, but there was something else. Bloodshot eyes rolled in their sockets as the mule considered what it was scenting. A few yards away, Dean stirred in his sleep. The sudden movement of the mule penetrated into his rest, but not quite enough to bring him fully awake. 300 yards away, picking a silent path along the abandoned highway, were two young men, swarthy, with long mustaches, dressed entirely in midnight black, with a single crimson slash along each leg. Each held a greased Kalashnikov assault rifle at the ready. As soon as the general realized that the caverns had been infiltrated from the far side, something he had always considered impossible, he had ordered the two men out on a wreck from the rear exit, scouting up toward the rectangular shape of the visitor center on the hillside. They were to find what they could up there and kill anyone they came across. They were about 250 yards from Dean Carter. The sleeping boy was still invisible to them in a shallow hollow, though they'd already heard the nickering of the restless horses. Judas swung his head from side to side, disturbing a small swarm of gnats that had been feasting on the salt sweat that coated his skin.
Always shit jobs.
Something was wrong. The suggestion of a truce talk had surprised Ryan. He'd called back for them to have a few minutes to consider the offer. Ryan beckoned them all to join him.
Doc, go and tell Jack what's happening. Warn him to keep extra watch. Could be a way between their section of the caverns and ours. Then come straight back.
Your wish is my command, Excellency. I shall spin a loop around the globe and be back at 2:50 to find if there is honey still for tea.
Just go, Doc. What do you think, guys?
I vote we get out the way we came, pick up the horses and head north. Decide at Jack's what we'll do then. Make a jump, move on. There's been too much death, Ryan.
Sounds good to me. What do you think, John? Fight or flight?
J.B. slowly unhooked his wire-rimmed glasses, holding them toward the overhead light, angling the lenses and then wiping away a tiny smear.
Nobody ever told me to take my blaster and run. Nobody tells me that now. I say we listen to what the general has to say. He's backed into a corner, lost half his forces and one of his wags. I figure he'll want us to pay the price for that, one way or another.
Jack needs his price paid.
Ryan looked around as he caught Doc returning.
Have to ask him what he thinks we should do.
The old man was alone.
I fear you'll find it difficult to ask young Master Lauren anything, my dear Cawdor.
Why?
Because he has disappeared.
Where?
Mayhap you do not understand the definition of the word disappear.
You want to talk, General? How do we do this without someone getting cold-cocked?
I like the sound of you, stranger. You have a name?
Ryan Cawdor.
Ah! The one-eyed man. Used to ride with the late and lamented traitor?
That's me. Do I know you?
Long ago, Cawdor. In another part of Deathlands. Years past. Doesn't matter where. Well, I think you and I are men of honor. I'll step out in 30 seconds with one of my people carrying a white flag. No need to come too close to converse. You do the same with one of your people. Perhaps the pocket-sized J.B. Riggs? No. Dix, wasn't it?
No. I never heard a man's voice I trusted less than his.
Mildred, cover me with that revolver. Christy, you and Doc watch and get ready. But keep a lookout behind you. Any threat to me and J.B. and you shoot. No hesitation at all, understand?
Everyone nodded.
I'll have the Uzi on full auto. First breath out of line, I cut him down.
Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
Shit jobs.
Híjole.
The two scouts squatted on their heels and looked down at the sleeping boy and the tethered animals less than 100 yards away from them. One of them took off his black beret and wiped sweat from his forehead.
We'll take you from here, Chivo. Pretty boy, Mosca. The general didn't say nothing about us not having a little fun if we could.
The other grinned, showing a mouth filled with spectacularly rotten teeth.
Sure, why not? No danger to us. It's some good sport as well. Let's go get him.
The white rag, tied to the barrel of an assault rifle, was carried by a woman. Over 6 feet tall, with flat, brutish features, she was dressed as the rest of the general's people had been. Her black hair had a beautiful sheen, like the underside of a raven's wing, and hung down past her waist. She emerged from the shadowy darkness of the far passage, walking out 5 slow, measured paces, and then stopping.
I think it only fair that you reveal a token of your good faith, Signor Carter, by coming out yourself, or sending out John Dix. Then I can appear myself.
I'll go.
The armorer held the Uzi loosely at his waist. Ryan had his eye to the side of the Stire, alert for any trap.
I'll cover you.
Sure you will, friend. Here I come.
After 10 seconds, the general himself strode out, holding a silver-topped Malacca cane, remarkably similar to that carried by Doc. He was slender, with an olive complexion, sporting a trim goatee beard. There was a blaster holstered at his belt, and he wore a black uniform identical to the woman's.
I await you, Carter.
Ryan looked at Mildred, Christy, and Doc.
Watch behind as well as in front. I'm triple worried about Jack. If they got him, then they've got around the back of us. First sign of danger, start blasting.
Ryan walked out, having handed the rifle over to Christy. Trader had always preached the importance of never taking any chance that you didn't have to take. Standing there, knowing that an unknown number of Kalashnikovs were trained on him, sent the short hairs prickling at Ryan's nape. His hand gripped the butt of the Sig Sauer, and he was careful to keep it pointed toward the oil-stained floor of the old garage. It had already been agreed that JB would spray the tunnel where the general's forces waited, and Ryan would try to kill both the general and the woman with the flag of truce. The man seemed totally at ease, despite the obvious razor-edged situation.
Now, what is all this, Signor Carter? I should have known there was trouble, scented it on the wet wind. Yet I didn't. My stranded wag and my relief crew, all chilled.
Right. Gone where they belong.
Ah. Do I detect the bitter tone of sought revenge here, Carter? There were Indians with you. Why should a man like you associate himself with people like that?
Get on with it.
A sensitive nerve, perhaps, amigo. Well, what is this holy quest that brings you so far on my trail? Its roots must lie far north if there are Navajo involved.
A smile of recognition flickered across the general's serene face. It was at that precise moment that Ryan realized he was dealing with a totally amoral madman who would have to be killed. There wasn't going to be any possible way of riding around this one.
Think it's funny, General?
Amusing, Senor Dix. Yes, I have ridden these parts for 2 years, 8 months, and 4 days since the makeshift crew of rurales, and so-called federales, harried me from my ancestors' home below the Grandi. Since then, I have lived off the land, and this has meant the spilling of blood. But we should not talk about Chilean scum, less than flies. Not men like you and I, Carter. It might even be blasphemous.
The temptation to open fire on the neatly urbane lunatic was almost overwhelming, but Ryan knew it would instantly produce a murderous burst of lead that would rip JB and him to tatters of flesh.
You've been here in the caves long?
1 year and 8 months and 22 days. It is an excellent base. There is nothing to attract pack rats and mercenaries to this desolation. But for me, there was good shelter and a hidden supply of gasoline. My wagon there is fueled up and ready to go. After we have reached our agreement, I shall go from here. Perhaps back over the border.
What agreement?
The general was making a weaving motion on the stone floor with the ferrule of his cane.
You go away. I had not known it was possible to reach me from the other side. I never bothered. Lazy, perhaps. Get your horses, or whatever you have, and leave. I shall take my 9 loyal comrades and depart in the other direction. Everyone leaves, and nobody dies. Is that not the best of endings?
There's a debt to be paid.
Indians? What
Could it have something to do with the gimpy old slut with the mewling brat? Ah, yes. That might be it. The venerable Western Anglo tradition of guarding the sacred virtue of women and children. A man must do what a man must do.
Something that the general said rang a warning bell in Ryan's mind. But he couldn't spot what it was. There was a sudden flaring danger. Jack? Where was Jack? But it wasn't the albino teenager.
Horses.
What?
Ryan couldn't swallow, his mouth was so dry.
Horses. Bastard sent someone to circle up front. Never thought of that. Hasn't rolled out like I wanted. They find Dean and the horses, chill him out there, trail us in here all the way from the visitor center. Our feet in the dust, get us like meat in a sandwich. Fuck it.
The frenzied, suicidal charge of Thomas Firemaker and Two Dogs Fighting had thrown away all Ryan's careful plans. The original idea had been to work their way in through the labyrinth of caves and try to kill the enemy without the risk of a major confrontation. Now things were horribly different. Ryan was certain in his heart that his young son was under an immediate threat, and Jack could easily be dead. Otherwise, where was he?
How many are with you, Carter? Since Trader died. Or did he? I heard word of you all over Deadlands. Nobody could travel that far and that fast to be in 10 places in 3 days. Heard you got a woman, red-haired mutie. An old-timer and a black woman kept appearing. And a mutie kid with white hair.
The general slowly shook his head.
Not the class I'd have looked for from someone who was Trader's right-hand man.
Ryan, I have to get out of here. I can feel a lot of blackness.
Is anything wrong, my friend?
The general suddenly turned to whisper something to the statuesque woman at his side, who nodded slowly. Ryan felt something close to a blank panic.
Gotta move, JP, or we lose it all.
You're not thinking of going, are you, Ryan Carter? I would have to forbid that. I realize that would go against the rules of the flag of truce we stand beneath. Don't go.
You try anything and you get to be dead as well.
Despite the cool damp of the caverns, Ryan found himself blinking sweat from his good eye.
You think it worries me? You think I'm bothered at the risk of death? The fires of hell have been stoked for me these 20 years.
Ryan's index finger tightened on the trigger of the 6-hour.
This is it, lover. Get out and try to save Dean.
JB, at Ryan's side, was as calm as if they were discussing whether it might snow tomorrow.
They expect us to go back. Only chance is to go forward, aim for the wag.
I thought too.
The general continued with the stick in a regular rhythm. Now the madness was out in the open. The man genuinely didn't mind dying, as long as Ryan perished at the same moment.
I could take the sicko bastard's head off with the rifle. Just give me the word, Ryan.
It might be enough to throw the hidden marksman for a vital split second, to have their leader killed in front of them. Ryan couldn't come up with anything better. His mouth opened to give the word, every muscle tensed.